All right, everybody, we're taking a little bit of a pause interviewing guests today, and we're jumping right into all things numbers. We're going to be living in Google Sheets, one particular Google Sheet where we forecast for our clients. So we're going to be talking all things forecasting, a little bit of a hot topic recently on Twitter, but we're going to be talking on how we do forecasting, what makes a good forecast, an overview of all the ins and outs of how we take a brand through the forecast, why we're doing it as an agency, why can't you just run our ads and worry about the creative, et cetera, et cetera. We're just going to be getting into the numbers. It's probably going to be a little bit of a teaser. You're probably going to be leaving with some questions, but this is a first crucial episode to a mini series where today's episode is going to be a generic overview of kind of the forecast, why we do it, what makes a strong forecast. Episode 2, Taylor and I are going to be role playing. So I'll be role of the founder and Taylor will be Taylor himself. And then the third episode, we're actually going to bring on a current client, talk about why the forecast has been effective for him, his experience with it and their brand. Excited for that episode just in general, because we have probably been too late in bringing that particular brand on because they're on a rocket ship right now in the baby and mom category. So anyways, getting ahead of myself, but let's jump in. Very important episode to set the scene for the rest of the upcoming episodes. All right, see you in there. Today's Power Minute is brought to you by Social Snowball, an affiliate platform for e-com that is focused on enabling affiliate partnerships for what I like to call the modern affiliate. So not the traditional affiliates, publishers, blogs, etc. This is the modern affiliate, such as creators, ambassadors, influencers, customers, etc. So there's many things I love about Social Snowball. One of the first things that comes to mind is they eliminate all code leaks. So if your codes that have gone out to influencers or affiliates have ended up on coupon sites, Social Snowball would eliminate this. Also, it's very important to have a tiered-based system to motivate your affiliates to continue to post and generate revenue for you. So they make that super seamless, make it super easy on the affiliate to get paid out any which way that they like. So Venmo, PayPal, directly to their bank on a Visa gift card, Amazon gift card, all that, et cetera. If you guys haven't checked them out, they're on the Shopify App Store. Go check them out today. You're missing out. They are clearly the best and our number one recommendation for affiliate marketing. Today, I am in the driver's seat. No guest, no co-host, Taylor. We're going to be jumping into a little bit of a series here, talking about all things forecasting, all things finances, numbers, why we do it, how to think about forecasting. This episode is just going to be a generic overview. I'm going to be screen sharing for those that are video subscribers or listeners. Actually, that doesn't make sense, but video listeners, you get the picture. You're looking on a screen and following along. I'll be screen sharing for you, walking through an example forecast, what it looks like when we actually first onboard a client, why we start there. But today we're going to be jumping into the forecast itself. And I want to start, I'm going to jump in with one of the things that I think about is a lot of brands are victims of black magic financial forecasting, filled with a bunch of fluff and made up numbers. And what I mean by black magic, just meaning they're kind of just creating it out of nowhere. They're pulling it, either brand or agency. They're pulling it out of nowhere. It's kind of just, here's what I think we could do projecting spend based on what sounds sexy to close the client, what sounds sexy to the whole company. And so again, it's helpful to know benchmarks. You don't need to do that crazy of numbers or analysis. You don't need to have a financial background to actually know that numbers and benchmarks can be very, very helpful. And most people don't do projects unless the numbers work, right? So comparing financial decision-making in advertising, which is what we're going to be talking about, to project planning in real estate or construction or doing a home build. In all these cases, the emphasis is on the importance of grounding decisions in solid, realistic numbers. We wouldn't proceed with a construction project unless the financial projections like cost and return and profitability and ROI are sound and viable. And so similarly in advertising, one shouldn't embark on campaigns or strategies unless the financial benchmarks that we all care about, such as ROAS and CAC and margin and gross margin, are thoroughly analyzed and deemed feasible. So jumping into exactly what our forecast looks like, I'm just going to go ahead and screen share here. So what you see on screen is where everything starts. So we're going to start here in setting business goals. For us to help our clients drive sustainable growth, we have to be laser focused on profitability, but also for long-term success. And so we ask these three questions. What are your goals as a business? If you plan to sell, what is the timeline and how much? And then what are your annual, but also monthly top line and bottom line financial goals in relationship to the ultimate goal that you have above? So this sets the stage for strategy, and we'll refer back to this feasibility of these goals based on the unit economics and financial forecasting. But why do you need a proper forecast? One of the things that I would just say to stop sharing, let's just go back to, it gives you a plan. What I just said of, you know, the developer, the project manager, it level sets expectation for who's responsible for what. So it gives you a plan, level sets expectations for, you know, are you going to triple your growth from last year? Probably not realistic based on the numbers and especially for how we do things. So we go through the numbers, we get a firm on the numbers, but then we set expectations for who's responsible, but also what is realistic based on the forecast when we actually look at these things. And then finally, it isn't true just because you put it into our spreadsheet. You have to go make it true. So the difference is if we make it true, the difference with a good forecast is that we know that the business will have the outcome that it's looking for if we go make it true, if we execute. So we will make the business profit if we actually follow this plan. And that is what a good plan is it says that we can, if we execute this plan, we will make profit. We will make money for the business. And obviously there's no guarantee that execution happens just because a forecast is, you know, a living, breathing document. It becomes actuals when you put it against the forecast, and that's where the fun happens. And so there's no guarantee, but that's ultimately the job of us as an agency. It's the job of the operator to go make the forecast happen. But a good plan is, you know, that the outcome is what you're looking for, that when you execute this process, it'll lead to the outcome that you want. But just like with any game or with any plan, there's pivots, there's audibles, and so there's halftime adjustments. And so you went into the game thinking that this plan was going to achieve the outcome you're looking for. Well, things happened and you got to pivot and you got to adjust. And that's where actuals against this forecast really make it effective. And that's why you want to be monitoring it week to week, month to month, quarter to quarter. Today's Power Minute is brought to you by Mighty Scout, an influencer tracking tool. So you've probably heard Taylor and I talk about Mighty Scout at length in past episodes, but today we want to take special time to speak to it specifically. So if you are investing in any sort of influencer marketing to a degree, I highly suggest getting on Mighty Scout. First of all, it's going to track all of your organic posting that goes out. So if you're doing seeding, pay for posts, you can drop in all your influencers by campaign. And then once those influencers are in those campaigns, they're going to immediately start being tracked if and when they mention you by handle or any hashtags that you give it. So it's going to give and pull all that content, most importantly, so that you can know who posted, you can reach out for content rights, etc. Also, it's going to give you all the reporting and ROI on those things as far as metrics wise. So you're going to be able to know the vanity metrics that go out around those influencer posts. You're going to know everything that it goes into around influencer marketing in regards to Mighty Scout. So if you haven't checked them out, highly, highly suggest them. Go to mightyscout.com to find out more. So again, a proper forecast will set the vision and outcome of what you're looking for. But we know that if we execute it, it'll achieve the outcome of making profit, making the business money. And that's exactly why, to go back to screen sharing here, that is exactly why we start here. That's why we start with these goals. So, you know, based on the business model, when someone onboards and they see these things, how aggressively do they want to sell? Do they want to have a cash cow and leave it on to their son or daughter in 20 years? And they want to have the business for multiple generations. That's very different from someone who wants to sell to a PE firm in 1 to 2 years. Also, the number that you are looking to achieve in your exit plan, 100 million in 3 years, is very different than, you know, selling for 20 million. And then the monthly goals or the year-end goal obviously makes this forecast very, very relevant to ultimately why clients are paying us to help them achieve their business goal, which is mainly in the new customer acquisition.
Your ads look great, but it could also be silently murdering your profits. I've reviewed hundreds of e-commerce brands over the years, and you'd be surprised how many hidden mistakes I regularly come across that are just quietly killing growth. We've already done hundreds of audits in the past year alone. Brutally honest, actionable feedback that I'm applying to your business today to level up your e-commerce side. And if this sounds like something you'd like me to do for your business as well, let's connect. You can sign up for a free business audit now through our contact page at kinship.co. That's kynship.co/contact-us. Back to the episode.
So this sets the stage for the strategy. And what you see on screen essentially is three customer cohorts: new customers, recently acquired customers. So these are customers acquired in the past 180 days. And then active non-recent customers. These are people that have bought in the past 180 days that were acquired before that. So they're active, meaning they've bought in the past 6 months, but they were acquired, they're non-recent, they were acquired before that 180-day clip. And then your active customer file, which is often your Klaviyo email list or SendLane or whatever ESP that you're using. Most often it is Klaviyo. But we're pulling all these numbers, AOV from Shopify, total spend. We're pulling in from all the advertising spend across the board. This isn't just Facebook, but it's all their ad spend. Their AOV of recently acquired customers, again, from Shopify, active non-recent customers. We're pulling from a combination of Klaviyo and active customer files. And all this, we're also looking at the business metrics. So gross margin, cost of delivery, your fixed costs, meaning just everything outside of cost of delivery, and ads, ad spend. And in our definition of fixed costs, where it pulls in recent customer repeat rate, active non-recent customer file repeat rate, and your churn. Again, with all of these things, we're looking at seasonality to a lot of this. We're looking at the time of year or any promotions that you guys would have. So we realized that instead of just doing a new customer cohort and a repeat customer cohort, splitting these out into active, non-recent, and recent, these two cohorts behave very differently, but when you separate them out, they actually behave very predictably. So behave very differently, but very predictably. So that's why we break them out. And then we're pulling in, we're engineering these forecasts based on 2 years of historical data, the brand seasonality, like I said, and a future spend analysis. And these cohort-based forecasts in three cohorts are easier to update over time and provide insight into performance. So you can take action earlier as you're seeing actuals come in and you're doing closing out the month from the previous month. So we're pulling in, like I said, all these different business metrics. We're looking at what that forecast spits out in relationship to the goals. So this particular brand had a $10 million top line and 20% profitability. So $2 million bottom line. Now, this would be more than that in this scenario because of the raised top line. But all of this spits out a forecast that we can look at, because if we see these fixed costs, for example, you know, he's at 6%. 10%, 9%, just based on a percentage of top line revenue. Now, if this goes up to 300,000 from 70,000, now this fixed cost becomes 25%, as high as 44% in some months. But you see the output of the forecast. Now he is negative 2% profitability. Now, obviously, an extreme scenario, but it raises the point. As a D2C brand, you can afford to have a very lean operating system. Which less than 15% is what we're shooting for all of our clients. And things, this is where the forecast is really level setting expectations again, right? Is can we as an agency improve your gross margin? No. Can we fix your fixed costs, for lack of a better phrase? No. But this does give clear insight into what roles do people have. Because if we go back to this cohort, the new customers, this is where we're actually going to live and breathe. Where us as an agency, we're going to be actively trying to improve this. This is ultimately what we're hired to do. So yes, creative and cost controls are at the core of our strategy in profitability, in scaling your ad account. But first things first, before we launch a single ad, we need to have an understanding of your unit economics on a per product SKU and a per offer basis. This is absolutely critical in understanding our targets. So this AMER target backs into a 28-day click AMER or ROAS target. So if we look on a cost per breakdown per SKU, I've blocked out some of these brand, these product names, but you can see that they have different percentage costs. Well, that obviously would make the cost of delivery different, which means we set our targets different based on a per SKU basis or per offer if it was the same SKU and it was a different offer. So taking all into their accounts, if they had 51% cost, from a 7-day click to a 28-day click, there's a 16% delta increase. So for people that are just audio listening, we're looking at a unit economics of an AOV of $100. If their cost is 51%, that's $51 into cost of delivery, the cost of product and to fulfill to a customer. We do a delayed attribution multiplier. So we're optimizing campaigns on 7-day click most of the time, unless it's an impulse buy and it'd be on 1-day click. That 7-day click, when we ran analysis of all turned off campaigns over the past 6 months, we saw that there's a 16% lift from the closing of a 7-day click window that ultimately ends up in 16% more purchasers from 7 days to 28 days. So that delta, we can actually set our cost controls 16.67% more aggressive in our 7-day click campaigns, knowing that more purchasers or 16% increase will come over the course of 28 days. And that is what we're backing out our monthly CAC or AMER numbers into. And this is why we need to understand the unit economics of a per product SKU basis and a per offer basis. And it's critical in understanding our targets, because we're organizing campaigns by specific financial outcomes, most often contribution margin, most often ROIC, which is return on invested capital. We're optimizing these campaigns against. So this becomes really fun for us because we have a lot of control over hitting these targets because we launch so much creative. We can just give Facebook way more opportunity to go find winners to hit these metrics on a per offer, per SKU basis, per campaign. So the levers that are within our control is obviously on that new customer cohort. And this is what brands are hiring us to improve. So again, this goes over from everything starts top down from your goals. And this gives you insight into how we're actually forecasting or realizing actuals against the forecasts. For this particular brand, we were within 10 to 15%, barely missed AMER, or pulling in active day-to-day, week-to-day, monthly overview of our first order contribution margin, monthly numbers, lifestyle constants. So we're looking at these, and we're also realizing the actuals against these numbers, and then it spits out a forecast. And again, like any good forecast, where the real magic happens is in the execution of this. So like I was saying, because we run everything on cost controls and mass creative, we are in so much more control of actually hitting these forecasts, which has been really encouraging as we've been doing this over the past 6 to 12 months. We've seen incredible accuracy in the forecast that we're putting in front of our clients. And because we want to have every campaign that we launch lead to a specific financial outcome, leading to greater contribution margin at the end of the day. So, like I said, a little bit of a high level overview. It's going to be, I'm sure there's questions as people are looking at this on screen, or people listening in. This will be an episode that are getting into the weeds. In this next episode, Taylor and I are going to be role playing. So we're actually going to go into this sheet even deeper. An example sheet where I'll be playing the role as a founder, and you'll get underneath the hood of what it looks like as far as our first step in onboarding, creating this forecast, going through it, getting aligned on goals and targets and target accuracy to actually go make this forecast a reality. So I'll see you next time on the Influence Marketing Blueprint. Thanks, everybody.